What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
For those of you who are in desperate need of some satisfaction, desperate need of some peace, well, first of all, we're glad to keep you company. We always love to make connections with our radio show. And I have a great suggestion. If your hump day was a faceplant right into the hump, maybe take a break in your happy place. Penny is the queen of taking breaks in her happy place. If you have not seen the latest photo of my now 13 and a half year old Penny, she copped a squat in the middle of the backyard on Wednesday. I was able to snap a photo. Actually, it was Tuesday afternoon. I take it back. On Tuesday afternoon, she plopped right down on the grass. There was a breeze that was blowing through the backyard. Her nose is up. She's taking in all the various scents and fragrances. She's actually plopped down right in front of my lilac, which I've planted now. It's been not quite a year, but she's growing, Lila. So this is a picture of Penny and Lila, but it's such a pretty photo of Penny. She's at peace, maybe because she can't hear much, but she's sniffing what's happening in the neighborhood, and she's just so comfortable and happy to be outside. Outside in the backyard is her happy place, sniffing the world as it goes by. So if you would like to take a look at the photo, maybe it will give you some peace as well if you're in the middle of that. And many of you always respond with photos of your dogs too. I didn't put it up on Facebook, but it is on Twitter, A-Law Radio. A break in a happy place. We all need that now and then, and Penny has mastered the art. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll see if I can get Jay to throw it up on our Facebook page. Coming up in now just over 2 hours, the 2023 Chubby Bunny World Championship. If you don't know what it is, well, we shared the latest video on both Twitter and Facebook from 22. Jay is the returning and reigning co-champion, so he's out to defend his title. Sean will return. He's managed to recover from nearly dying last year and is actually back for more. He says, "I better win." That's a quote in a text. I better win. And then coming up, I'll tell you why I wasn't able to mentally focus on Wednesday afternoon, because something else captured my attention, a different furry critter, not Penny. Also got a new text message from John Kincaid, our longtime colleague and friend, with an update on his health. And it is good news. So a lot still to come here on the show. Again, find us on Twitter or on Facebook. We're glad to connect with you. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. They are into the first round of practices. These are actual OTAs, mandatory for the NFL, which means, once again, we're inundated with storylines and topics and audio. You know how much we love audio and mixing in different voices here. With San Francisco, yet again, as much as Kyle Shanahan can't stand it, yet again, the quarterback questions persist. Brock Purdy, Trey Lance, now Sam Darnold, no Jimmy G, and yet the situation hasn't changed a whole lot. So we're pleased to welcome Jennifer Lee Chan of NBC Sports in the Bay Area, longtime Niners insider. Well, Jennifer, what does it feel like to be back at practice this week?
You know, it felt like business as usual, but of course, there's so much talk about the quarterback situation, what's going to happen. And we actually got to speak to all three quarterbacks other than Brandon Allen. So we spoke to Brock Purdy and Trey Lance and Sam Darnold all in one day. So we did get to see them throw. Brock Purdy is obviously not throwing, but the biggest news of the day was that he should be ready for week one. So that was kind of a surprise, but I guess you just never know.
All right, so let's break it down. Let's start with Coach Shanahan. I know he doesn't love to talk about his quarterbacks, but every single year this is going on with the San Francisco 49ers. So what did he have to say about how they'll move forward during practice and kind of working toward the season?
It never ceases to amaze me, right? It's been one of the most fascinating quarterback storylines for the past several years. What are the 49ers going to do? And it appears that Brock Purdy will be healthy for week one. Now, if you know, it just remains to be seen whether he is able to get out and practice for a couple weeks before that, or at least a handful of practice before that. He said previously that he doesn't want to throw a guy out there unless he has at least had some 11-on-11 practices. So we'll see if he stays true to that or not. But otherwise, it's mostly Trey Lance and Sam Darnold getting the bulk of the reps at practice. Now, in practice on Tuesday, Trey Lance had the first grouping of snaps, and then Sam Darnold had the second grouping of snaps. Now, normally that would be first team and then second team, but he said, hey, no O-line, no D-line out there. You know, a lot of the wide receivers are out, so really the second team is, or the first team is kind of the second team, and the second team is kind of the third team. He's like, yeah, really funny to try and figure out which one is really first and second team. So he kind of joked around about that, but as of Tuesday, Trey Lance was the guy who was under center first, and then Sam Darnold was second.
Trey Lance is now in the position that Jimmy Garoppolo was in for a couple of years, wondering about his status and having to stay ready just in case, knowing that if the Niners execute their plan perfectly, he's likely not to be QB1. How have you seen him handle this?
It was really interesting. This time when he spoke to us, he was much more relaxed. And I think that has to do partially with the fact that he's 100% healthy. He talked about the fact that for the longest time, that finger injury that happened in his rookie year really affected everything. It was a trickle-down effect. So he couldn't straighten his index finger all the way. He had to learn how to release the ball with his middle finger instead of his index finger. That had a whole trickle-down on his windup, his throwing mechanics. It ended up trickling down to, you know, his complete body mechanics, how he twists his body, how he pushed off his back foot. So it had this incredible effect on his efficiency, just his comfort in throwing. That also led to part of the arm fatigue that was a story in the past. He kind of joked about that and said, hey, can we finally put this to rest, this whole arm fatigue thing? Interesting to see him kind of more himself, more relaxed, less guarded, and he seemed a little bit more at ease. And I think, you know, part of that is just him being healthy.
They moved up to get him in the draft, Jennifer. They moved up to number 3 to get him in the draft. Brock Purdy obviously was this incredible revelation, and the way he handled the situation last year was more than what Niners fans could have asked, but really more than what the franchise could have asked. How do they decide? If they're going to go with Brock, eventually they're going to have to make some decision about how to part ways with Trey, right?
I would think so. I mean, the good thing is that both of them are on their rookie contracts. So if they keep them both and the way they've gone through quarterbacks the last couple of years, you'd think they'd want at least a safety net behind their starting quarterback. Both John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have talked about how Brock Purdy is the leader in the clubhouse. So, you know, he's got more game experience. Not Trey's fault that he doesn't have that experience. You know, he had that week one game in 2022 in Chicago, and it was just a downpour. So you can't really judge that game. And then the next week, week two, that's when he got injured. You know, previous to that, he'd been in and out for a couple of snaps, a few starts here and there, but nothing consistent. People asked, you know, in his press conference, would you be, you know, are you looking to be traded? You heard the rumors. And he's like, no, he wants to be where he's at. His words were, I'm trying to stay where my feet are. And so he wants to stay in the present. And I think you look across the league, learning from Kyle Shanahan and Brian Greasy, probably a really good situation for him. So I can't imagine him really wanting to leave at this point. He does want to compete for that starting role, though.
Jennifer Lee Chan is with us here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio. Already so many questions about the San Francisco 49ers and their quarterbacks, of course, even though Kyle Shanahan would love to be done with that. She covers the Niners for NBC Sports. Jennifer, then what did you hear from Brock about his health and about where he is now following that March surgery?
He says his arm feels good. He feels good. He's throwing a towel instead of a football. So Kyle Shanahan, that the weight of the football is too much for him at this point, but he is doing that throwing motion. Next week, the second session or second grouping of OTA practices, he will begin starting to throw a football. Of course, he won't be doing it in team drills. So he'll probably be doing it off to the side with the PT of the team, but he is on schedule. Next week is the 12-week marker. That's the big one as far as, you know, the surgeons say, where he starts throwing. And then that's where, if he has any setback, that could set that week one timeline off balance. But as of now, everything's on schedule.
All things being equal, both guys healthy, what's the biggest difference between Brock and Trey?
I think it's game experience. They both have the ability to process the game and what's happening on the defense as the play unravels. But I think Brock Purdy with his, you know, he's got so many more starts, so many more snaps under center in the NFL. He has been able to prove that he is worthy of the starting position. And I think that's why both Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have said that he's their guy as long as he's healthy.
So Now how does Sam Darnold fit into the equation?
Sam Darnold is kind of the wild card, right? He's an incredibly talented thrower. He hasn't been in the best situations. He is, it seems, very excited to be working with Brian Griese, working with Kyle Shanahan. He's also never had a supporting cast like he will with the 49ers.
True.
Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Elijah Mitchell. I mean, you can go down the list, and he's never had a team like this. And, you know, also a team that's got a strong defense. But will he be able to get on the field? Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But I think learning from those two guys and being able to take reps in practice are going to be great for him. But we talked on the podcast and wondered, will he ever see the field? If Trey Lance and Brock Purdy are healthy, it could be doubtful.
It's also helpful to have a viable backup or two, because the number of teams that go through multiple QBs, and the Niners have been an example of that, right? And yet still managed to make the NFC Championship 2 years in a row.
That kind of points back to the fact that they have such a strong supporting cast for whoever comes in at quarterback, that they're really set up to succeed. So whoever it is under center, I think the 49ers are another team to watch going into the season. As long as they stay healthy, they're going to be a contender.
Jennifer Lee Chan is with us from the Bay Area, following a couple of practices now for the Niners with all three quarterbacks who are available to speak. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Outside of quarterbacks, Jennifer, what are the other questions surrounding the team, even in May, as they think about 2023 season?
The big thing that coming up for the front office is getting an extension done for Nick Bosa. So I have no doubt that it's going to be done. It's just when it will be done. And then with him on the defensive line, Javon Hargrave, defensive tackle, Eric Armstead in the inside, who's going to be on the other side of the defensive line? A guy that they really are looking for improvement from is Drake Jackson. They moved up in the draft. They picked him high in 2022. He kind of petered out mid-season and didn't really perform well. And, you know, they're really looking for him to improve. Javon Kinlaw is a guy, you know, he's on the last year of his rookie contract. What can they get out of him? It's interesting that the Niners have, you know, a top-ranked defense for the last several years, and yet the criticism that they had internally is that the defensive line didn't get as much pressure on the opposing quarterbacks they have in the past. So That's what they're really focusing on, which is interesting. Also, Steve Wilks being the new defensive coordinator, I think that's something to watch as well. You know, his background is in DBs and safeties. How well do they improve with his leadership over the defense?
And we know the Panthers spoke so highly of him when he stepped in for Matt Rhule following that change in Carolina last season, and obviously played really hard for him. They were still in the running for the NFC South title for a while. Jennifer, the schedules come out. The Niners won the NFC West last year with that 13-4 mark. What was it, 10 wins in a row to wrap up the regular season?
Yes.
What stands out about their 23 schedule?
I think the big one is going back to Philadelphia for, you know, that NFC championship game rematch late in the season. And that, interestingly, is sandwiched by two Seahawks games. So you've got two division games. So it's Seattle and then it's Philly, and then it's Seattle again. I mean, that three-pack game, that's going to be a tough one for them late in the season. Also, the fact that they play on every single holiday in the season.
Oh, no.
They play on Thanksgiving, they play on Christmas Day, and then they play on New Year's Eve. So it is a holiday-packed schedule for all of us that cover the 49ers and the team themselves.
What does that say to you, Jennifer?
It says to me I'm not going to have as good of a Thanksgiving as I normally do.
Oh, goodness. Well, at least we know we'll get the great coverage. If you think about the West Division, certainly with the Rams, there have been a ton of changes. Cardinals kind of feel like they're in limbo. What do you think after the first few months of the offseason?
I think Seattle had a really good draft. I think they're the team that's going to challenge the 49ers the most. I think it's going to be a tough battle between those two teams. And with that series, like I said, Seattle, Philly, Seattle, I think that's a tough one. I don't know what it is about the schedulers, but they've done that recently where they play the same divisional game very close together. They've done it with the Rams and the 49ers recently, like the past couple years where it's the Rams, then another team, and then the Rams again. I don't know if they're doing it on purpose or what if it just happens randomly, but it seems like it's happening more often than not.
And you think about the NFC as a whole, obviously Philadelphia went to the Super Bowl, the Niners were in the championship game, but the North feels wide open because of Aaron Rodgers' departure, and the Packers hadn't played well last year anyway. The Buccaneers don't have a great starting quarterback anymore. It just feels like a lot of the conference is wide open.
Yeah, I think one team to watch out for, though, is the Vikings. With Kirk Cousins, they had a great season last year. The joint practices between the Niners and the Vikings were really interesting. They've got a really good defense. They've got a lot of good players. It'll be interesting to see if they can kind of repeat that same level of performance as they did last year. But that's another team to look out for. But I think, Seattle and the Niners are the two in the West. But I would, keep an eye out for a couple teams that, didn't do as well last year. And I think the Vikings, they did play well. It's just, how they do during the late stretch of the season.
My goodness, it's May and already there's buzz. I can't help it, though. I love it. This makes me happy. I get a big smile on my face. So you can find Jennifer on Twitter at Jennifer Lee Chan. Covers the Niners. We always appreciate it when she joins us from NBC Sports. Podcast in there, too, looking at the new practices. Thank you so much for the intel. It's great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. We'll have to do it again soon.
Of course, because quarterback questions are not going away. They're not disappearing from the Bay Area. And it is fascinating, even though it's May, I get it, to think about the transformation in the NFC. Yes, you still have the Eagles and you still have the Niners. And remember, the NFC East was the NFC Beast last season, with Dallas and New York also making the playoffs. The Vikings got crushed in the postseason, though. Well, crushed. Did they get crushed? Would you say that they got crushed? They didn't get crushed, but they didn't perform up to the level that we had seen them during the year. What we saw from them is the defense that left holes.
I'd say the Giants beat them.
The Giants did beat them, for sure. So the Vikings did not follow up in the postseason. That NFC North could feature a lively competition with the Lions. Maybe the Packers are able to stay in the mix there simply because Jordan Love is raring to go. Oh, what if he's the third straight Hall of Fame quarterback?
I don't think so.
Just wrong. Who believes Aaron Rodgers when he says he's rooting for Jordan Love and the Packers to do well this season? No one. Anyway, there's a long way to go. We're not close to the season kicking off, but we are not that far away from training camps. Training camps are end of July. It's end of May. So we're 2 months away. 2 months away from training camps getting underway. I am 2 months away from my next trip to Houston in July. No one wants to go to Houston in July. I'm a glutton for punishment, y'all. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio.
Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, you're not going to believe who actually hijacked my Wednesday afternoon. I had a list of chores and tasks that I wanted to accomplish. Nope, did not happen. Jay hasn't even heard this story because we didn't have a chance to talk on the phone very long. He volunteered to go get the marshmallows, which made me happy. We're 2 hours away from Chubby Bunny here on the show as well. But first, why my entire hump day was derailed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
My favorite Tina Turner song, and I'm not alone. Many people love this song, but Simply the Best is my favorite. Of course, along with What's Love Got to Do with It and Proud Mary, another one. She was a legend, a Grammy-winning Hall of Fame legend in the music industry. In fact, she's inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice, early in the 90s with her husband. Now, I don't remember her with her husband as an act, but then again in 2021 as a solo artist. And she had a Broadway musical that was done about her life. There was also an HBO documentary not that long ago. She wrote an autobiography in the 80s. Again, not something that I've read, but she had a tradition of energy and dancing. I heard her talk about it in an interview once in which she said that the reason she danced the way that she did and the reason that she always brought energy is because she knew it appealed to everyone, not just longtime fans, but to young people. She felt like her style and her dancing and her energy appealed to young people as well. It certainly worked because her music transcended decades and was still relevant even in the last couple of years. She passed away in Switzerland, actually. She lived in Zurich and suffered from a long illness, died at the age of 83. And as you probably saw on the internet, there were thousands of tributes for Tina Turner. So we wanted to play some of her music on this edition of the show. Certainly part of my childhood, one of the voices that I will always remember as I was growing up, and just an empowering type of music, but also just passionate and energetic, as she said. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Plus, she was always in incredible shape. Man, she was committed to fitness and health and always looked amazing. We'd love for you to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook, A-Law Radio. Our Facebook page is named after the show. And not only do we have the last Chubby Bunny World Championship from spring of 22 that you can check out and laugh at and see three of the four contestants who will compete in 2 hours. In fact, in 2 hours, we may already be through the Chubby Bunny World Championship. It doesn't take long once people start gagging. Anyway, I have not been able to mentally focus because all of my plans for Wednesday were derailed. I thought we had rain coming. I was wrong. Well, it looked like we were going to have rain, and then it just somehow passed to the north of my house. But I was outside in my shed to get my spreader, you know, one of those Scott's spreaders for the grub treatment for my lawn. Wanted to be sure I got it down before the rain. So I pour the grub treatment into my spreader. I go to put the grub treatment bag, so it's still half full. It's not empty. I go to put the bag back in the crate from which I had pulled it out. And as I'm leaning toward the far left corner of the shed, you're not going to believe what I saw. Not just a squirrel, but a dead squirrel. A dead squirrel lying on top of a rather large nest that either he or some other squirrel had created. And not only is the dead squirrel lying on top of this nest that he has created in the back of my shed, but it's on top of and inside of this tool stand. So in order to get to the dead squirrel and his nest that he clearly spent a lot of time on, or some other squirrel did, maybe it was a family nest, I have to pull everything out of my shed to get into the back corner. And then the nest is on the floor, on the stand of this tool apparatus, right? It's one of those that it's got two levels to it, and there's holes in the top and then holes in the bottom so that your tools, your long tools like your rakes, your shovels, your hose, they will stand straight up. So it's got a bottom on it. It's not like I can just stick a shovel in there, get the squirrel out, and chuck him. No, I have to pull everything out, including the tool stand, and then clean up the mess that's been made by this squirrel and get him out of the shed. Okay, so I'm already freaking out because of all the things in the world I wanted to do on Wednesday afternoon, retrieve a dead squirrel from the far corner of my shed was not one of them. Oh no, it gets better. You ready? So I go ahead and I'm trying to breathe. I freak out. I send a message to Denton. I send a message to a friend of mine who I'm supposed to talk to. I send a message to my mom. Bob calls because he sees my message. So I'm just I'm freaking out. But I decide that I will go ahead and spread the Grub X just to take a breath and breathe. And of course, wait for the rain. So I do that. As I am getting back to the shed, and I'm talking to mom on the phone because she calls, what am I going to do? She tells me, grab a shovel. You're going to have to get in there and scoop the squirrel and his nest out. As I'm peeking into the far corner, what do I see? Another squirrel tail tucked in behind the tool stand. Okay, so the one dead squirrel was on top of the bottom level of the tool stand with his nest. He's just laying there. I don't know what happened. He's laying there like he's taking a nap. I said to my mom, is there any chance he's sleeping? No. He would have heard you by now.
Natural causes, I guess.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Not with two of them dead in the shed. So then I see another tail. I can't see the whole squirrel. I don't know what's back there. I just see a tail wedged behind the far lip of the tool stand. So after freaking out sufficiently and wondering why me, why can't it be one of my neighbors that has dead squirrels in the shed? After telling Bob that we're absolutely getting an enclosed shed, we're getting rid of the shed. Remember, I've told you before how the squirrels make nests in my shed all winter, right? Because they can get in. It's not a waterproof or weatherproof shed. I may have said this before too. Last fall, I bought this spreader and it was in... It's one of those push ones, you know. It was in a box. So I thought I wrapped it up in the box for the winter. It would be okay. It had the various tools in it. I opened up the shed in April for the first time, or in March for the first time, and the box is gone. It's gone. The only part that's still there is the very bottom panel and the spreader sitting on it. But the sides of the box and the top of the box, they're completely shredded because the squirrels...
They ate it?
Well, no, they shredded it to use it in their nest or to take it wherever, right? And so the pieces of the cardboard box are all over my shed. So I had already in March taken the pieces, like taken a lot of this stuff in the shed out to sweep all the cardboard pieces out. I swear to you, the squirrels were not dead then. And I just got in the shed 2 weeks ago to mow. And I don't think the squirrels were in there either because I feel like I would have seen them. The one that was lying on the nest was pretty prominent. We've had a couple of nights in which the temps have been down in the upper 30s or the low 40s, but squirrels, they're around all winter. I think they just curl up someplace. They don't generally get affected by cold, and it wasn't a hard freeze. It was just upper 30s. Anyway, maybe they ate poison somewhere. Sometimes people put mouse traps out or whatever. Right. Sometimes people put poison out for animals.
Something on someone's grass somewhere could be.
Right. Exactly. And then they ate it. They clearly were together, these two squirrels, a family or a pair, who knows what. And they went back to their little house in my shed and passed away.
It's like Romeo and Juliet squirrel.
Great. Well, all of that's very romantic, but I still had to get two dead squirrels out of my shed. Oh, I'm telling you, I almost went back in the house. I can't deal with this today. Maybe I'll just wait till Bob shows up in June and Bob can get the squirrels out. But you know, I can't do that because the squirrels, there wasn't a nasty stench when I opened up the shed, which is another reason that I know they hadn't been in there a long time, but something was off. I could smell something. It wasn't rank, but it was something that wasn't quite right. And so I start pulling, I was wearing shorts and a tank top. I go back in the house, no way. And flip-flops, right? Yeah. I go back in the house, no way am I getting in the shed without full sweatpants. I get my grungiest pair of sweatpants. I get my nasty shoes. I cover myself in bug spray. I get on my big old gloves because there could be spiders in there. What's worse than spiders?
Yeah.
There could be spiders in there.
You suited up for battle.
I did. I put on full body armor and I start pulling things out of the shed, which is gross enough as it is, right? Because there's bugs and there's cobwebs and there's things. Anyway, I pull everything out on the lawn. By the way, not supposed to be walking on the lawn because of the grub treatment, but so much for that. And I finally get to the tool stand and I have to pull and I'm just to stand next to the tool stand. I'm freaking out because the squirrel's dead in the bottom of the tool stand. And I start pulling it. It's really heavy. I get it out of the shed. As I'm pulling it, the squirrels both are then exposed in the corner. So the nest kind of slides off into the corner of the shed. And now there's nothing. I actually took a picture.
Oh.
Of two dead squirrels in the corner of my shed. Once I got everything else out. Jay, I don't know why, but it made me want to upchuck. I get my largest snow shovel and, of course, a black trash bag, a big plastic trash bag. And I scoop up the squirrels one at a time. Of course, you know how it is with trash bags, right? You're trying to hold it with one hand and you're trying to scoop. You're trying to scoop something into it or dump something into it and one of the flaps folds in, right? Or one of the sides caves in. Oh, yeah. So what happens with the second squirrel? And all of his nest fall all over the lawn.
Oh.
So this is me. And I quote, well, I can't technically quote because it's not allowed on the radio. I go, no! Bleep. And I said it really loud. I was like, no, bleep.
I think that's a minimal reaction.
And
goodness.
Then I realized, of course, the corner of my yard is, it's like the four corners in the United States. There's four yards that come together in that corner. And I felt so bad because there's one like six-year-old girl that lives on the other side of the fence. And I'm thinking, shoot.
No, she's got to understand.
Yeah.
If she could see the scene and what you were going through, I think everyone would understand.
So I had to pick that one up twice because it didn't get into the bag the first time. So anyway, then the nest is everywhere, right? Because the nest is making it a gigantic mess. It took me an hour. It took me an hour to get the squirrels out of there, sweep up the mess, put everything back in. Now, on the bright side, I did actually reorganize the shed, throw some things out. But
so it wasn't the worst.
Yes, it was the worst. It's not funny at all. What would have happened if you had been there? There's no way you would have volunteered to help.
Well, first, move would have been like you. I would have suited up appropriately for the job. I would have had to go inside, get the gloves, probably ski goggles, mask.
Just to not breathe gloves, in the fumes.
Yeah, just everything. I'm covering. If there's skin, I'm covering it.
Ew.
Ew. Yeah, then I'd go in, assess the scene. Shovel, I guess, would probably be the best. I'm not picking it up with my hands, so I guess I'd go with the shovel.
Oh.
And then
I needed someone to help me hold the bag open.
That's it.
That was the worst. That was when I thought, I am so tired of doing everything by myself. I'm so tired of being a Wonder Woman. I'm so tired of being this amazing woman, like this whatever, who does everything. No, no more. No more. Not dead squirrels. No.
That's where you draw the line.
Oh.
Especially because when you got to do it yourself and you're holding the bag, you got to, if I'm imagining you did it this way, you have to bring the shovel towards you, which has the squirrel on the end of it.
No, so that's actually the problem, is I was holding this shovel out as far away from me as I possibly could. My left hand is extended with the bag. Mm-hmm. So then, of course, the sides of the bag kind of cave in. The squirrel hits the ground. It bounced. That's how rigorous, isn't that that's what they call it when they're stiff. Yeah. Okay. Here's the last part that I will tell you. Yeah. Both of these creatures were stiff. Like their bodies were stiff. They didn't move
at all. Did.
One of them's eyes were open. Great. And here's the worst part.
Horrifying.
There were a few flies. Thankfully, I got them out could you imagine another week? It would have been disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the worst part. The squirrel that was behind the tool stand, pieces of it came off.
No.
I swear to God.
It was decomposing?
It was, I don't really know. I don't know if something had something had chewed on it or gnawed on it. One of his hands fell off, and then parts of his tail. I'm just saying, it was the most disgusting day of my entire life. And to top it all off, there was also the dead carcass of a bird in my lawn. Thankfully, it was mostly gone. Like, there was really just a beak and some bones.
Is there some sort of like beast patrolling your backyard?
That was probably dropped. We have hawks that fly over my neighborhood, so I assume that a hawk dropped his dinner when he was done with it. Isn't that disgusting? The most disgusting thing you've ever heard. Why me? Why me? I love being a homeowner, but why couldn't it be someone else's yard? Get in someone else's shed.
And it
why?
Wasn't even like you were just trying to put a little seed on the grass.
I was minding my own business.
Like, you know, it's going to rain. Let me take advantage. Let me do this. Let me be a good homeowner. And then just no one expected
everything
that.
Derailed. That's... Everything derailed. You should have heard the noises coming out of me when I saw. No! And then the word that no one is supposed to say in a neighborhood where there's people listening.
Oh, I'm in a glass case of emotion.
I smelled gross. I probably had squirrel residue on me.
Ugh.
Oh, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and your host is mortified. Here's our latest sports update.
Crap.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. One, two. And he hits one high in the air to right field. Back goes Betts. He's under it. Makes the catch. Tagging from third, Riley. Here he comes. Bring the noise. Braves win it. A walk-off sec fly by Ozzie. And the Braves take down the Dodgers 4-3.
That's a big win. You know, it was just good to come back after we lost the lead and any of those things like that, to maybe, you know, that little confidence and whatever when you're scuffling a little bit, not hit on all cylinders. And so that's real good.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Atlanta Braves avoid the sweep at the hands of the Los Angeles Dodgers with a walk-off in the ninth inning. And it's Ozzie Albies, Ben Ingram with the call there on Braves Radio. Brian Snitker said, yeah, this was a big one. We definitely needed it. We've been working. We're showing our resilience, our experience, but we definitely needed to break through. As you look at the National League on this Wednesday night / Thursday morning, the Dodgers are at 31-20, the Braves at 30-19. And right now, those are the two best records on the senior circuit. In the same division as the Braves, Braves and Mets last year both had 101 wins. It was the Phillies that ended up rallying from not just an early season below 500 record, but also a managerial change. What are they attempting to repeat the same pattern? I don't know. Well, I don't think that we should see a managerial change, but they once again, are languishing below 500, have lost 7 of their last 10. And their big acquisition in the offseason, Trey Turner, has been getting booed. So Braves are on top again, finally. Mets and Marlins, they're exactly at 500. They've got identical records at 500. And then the Phillies are in fourth place. And Trey Turner's been hearing it from the fans.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, hit high in the air, left field. Carroll's back, track, wall, and it is gone! Game tied! Trey Turner has tied us up! His fifth home run of the season, and it's 5-5 in the bottom of the ninth. Ruiz kicks and deals, and the pitch swung on, lifted deep, right center field. Smith going back, looking up, and it's on the track. And down for a hit. Guthrie has scored, and the Phillies have won it.
Scott Fransky on Phillies Radio. Man, they needed that, and yet still below 500. And Trey Turner had been hearing the booing from the Phillies fans. He ties it in the ninth with his two-run homer and sets up the Alec Bohm walk-off single in extra innings. But, of course, the focus on this high-priced free agent shortstop who scuffled to start the year, and he actually said that he is prepared for anything that the fans will throw at him because of his mom.
My mom prepared me for anything in this game or in this world. So she was tough on me from an early age, and not much fazes me. So she told me today she was booing me. She actually texted me and said, you know, good game except for your fourth at bat. And I said, yeah, not a good one. And she said, I was booing you. So, she's why I'm here. One of the reasons why I'm here.
Mom booing Trey Turner. I mean, he is making $300 million. And yet this week he said, I've sucked. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
So what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments, so I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I want to see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 45% on selected products. Plus doorbusters for their Memorial Day sale. 45% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Health One healthcare system is proud to have been named one of the top places to work for women in the nation by Newsweek. Health One is the only healthcare provider in Colorado and one of only 6 organizations in the state to be recognized with this award. Thank you to all our colleagues, physicians, and volunteers for making Health One a great place to give and receive care. Learn more about our services, physicians, and locations by visiting healthonecares.com. That's healthonecares.com.
This is Flea for This Little Light, a podcast about falling in love with music. I started a nonprofit music school about 20 years ago called the Silver Lake Conservatory of Music. The reason that I started doing this podcast was music education. I'll be speaking with Rick Rubin, Thundercat, Stuart Copeland, Margot Price, Corey Henry, Cynthia Erivo, Sheila E., and Patti Smith.
Please listen and follow This Little Light, a presentation of Cadence 13 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.